Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, and turn to Psalm 107. And while you turn there, just a couple of announcements, particularly for our church. On the 25th, which is next Sunday, we are going to have a bazaar. In America, when you have a bazaar or a garage sale, people, you know, sell their used goods. And they're used, so there's usually maybe a scratch or some dirt, some smudge on there. But in Japan, when people sell their used goods, it's almost like new. It's strange. There's no dirt, no scratches, but it's cheap. So I think it's from 12 a.m. Right after the service. So you're welcome to come. And I also believe there's going to be a gospel choir workshop or concert, Makiko. Is there on the 1st of November? World Hunger Concert, yeah, here? Ah, oh yes, the YMCA, got it, yes, okay. I see, okay. Okay, and also, last thing to announce, this evening, on the top of this mountain, there's a park called Ryuo Koen, the King Dragon Park. And at this park, over 10 years ago, there were many young, single Christians who would gather in that park, and it had a very nice view of the entire city, better than this church because it's higher up. And we would sing and worship and have testimonies. It was a wonderful time, and it was on the top of the mountain, so we called it mountain worship. We didn't worship the mountain, but we worshiped on top of the mountain overlooking the city. We worshiped God. So that was a very wonderful time, and because of the weather and different things, it grew, and there were many people, and we moved it downtown to a more sheltered environment. But as time passed and people kind of moved or their life got busier, it dwindled and it's become very small. It still continues there in downtown, just above CLC Christian Bookstore. Tonight at 5 o'clock up on top of the mountain, we'll have another mountain worship. And it's being organized a little bit better, and there are kind of a new wave of people. So Naomi and I will bring our boys up there from about 5 o'clock. It's difficult to get to if you don't have a car. No car or no bus. Maybe there's a bus, but it's a little bit difficult. So, but if you have a car and you're available and you're willing to go up there, you're more than welcome to join us. So, yes, okay. So we are in Psalm 107. We don't have the slide for you today. You have it in your bulletin. However, I would suggest that you make sure to open your own Bible, whether it's your Bible app or the Bible in your pew, or you have your own paper Bible. And if worst comes to worst, you have it in your bulletin, okay? We're in Psalm 107. We're going to read a long portion. We're going to read verses 1 through 32. And then we're going to read the last verse, which is the summary verse. It's a beautiful, beautiful poem. And it's not, I don't like to split it in half or take just a part of it, but we don't have time to preach the whole sermon or the whole psalm. So we'll just take that first portion. Before we read it, I want to give you a few comments by way of introduction to what you read. Usually I don't do this, but I think it will help you sort of unlock what you're reading. If you look on the bulletin, the title of our sermon today is "This Is My Story, This Is My Song." It's from a song that my grandmother used to sing. But many of us here, well, in fact, all of us here, the life that we are living is a kind of story. And the story that we're living, for many of us, there has been this interruption. And usually an interruption is a bad thing. I'm going to work, but there was an interruption and I was late. But the kind of interruption that we find in this story is a good interruption. An interruption where God comes and sort of changes the direction of the story. Okay? And so what we're about to read is four stories, in fact. Four stories given very shortly, and in each one there is the God interruption, a wonderful thing. And what you'll notice is a kind of pattern in every interruption. If you're looking, you'll see in verse 6, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress." Now go to verse 8. "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind." Now, go down to verse 13. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress." Now, go to verse 15. "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his wonderful deeds towards mankind." That's a repetition. Did you see that? Well, it happens four more times. Go down to verse 19. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress." Verse 21, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind." That's the third repetition. Now go down to 28. "Then they cried out to the Lord." Then verse 31, "Let them give thanks to the Lord." Okay? So before we read, I want you to notice that, because that helps you to understand there is a pattern that this song is trying to express, and it will be helpful to you and to us when we understand that pattern. So, we're going to read verses 1 through 32. Let's read it together, and then we'll finish at verse 43. Let us read. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it drew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. And we go down to verse 43. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. This is the very word of God. Amen. All right. Well, where do we begin? Let's start at the end. Okay? We'll start at verse 43. Look once more, if you will. Verse 43. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Why did I include this verse at the very end? Because it points us back to verse 1. Give thanks for the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. So at the beginning of the psalm and at the end of the psalm, we have the theme of the psalm, which is God's love. Amen? God's love is the subject of this story, this song. But Chris, it gives us four stories of how God saved four kinds of people. Yes. If those of you who know, you've been walking with God, you understand that God's love is one. There is one kind of love that God has for us. It's the chesed, as we've been teaching all year. It's translated loving kindness, tender mercies. It's that unfailing love of God that never gives up on us. And you need to understand this because you give up. You fail. You are inadequate. You are weak. But every time we fail, God's love succeeds. Every time that we are inadequate, God's love is more than sufficient. Every time that we are at our wits' end and cannot figure out what to do, God's love is what saves us and brings us to the next step. So there is one love, but there are many kinds of ways that God expresses the love. Now, before I lose you, let's think for a minute. You don't have to be a Christian to understand this. In fact, if you ask anybody outside of the church, they could be a Japanese, they could be a Filipino, African, Pakistani, whatever. They could be a Buddhist. They could be a Muslim. They could be an atheist. Even an atheist. They would say, okay, if there is a God, he's somewhere there, I don't know. Let's say there is a God. If there's one thing we can all agree, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, Japanese, Filipino, African, one thing we all could say is God is a loving God, right? If you would tell somebody out there, God is love, God is a loving God, he loves, everybody would say, yes, right, sure. Why not? How could God be hate? You know. Now, you could ask somebody, well, where do you get that idea? How do you know God is love? Oh, I feel it. I don't feel it. Well, I could just think, I could look around. Look at nature. Look at the beauty and the wonder and the sky and the seas. And you think about it. Really? Would you be able to understand that God is love by looking out there? Really? Typhoons, hurricanes, earthquakes, fires, floods, tsunamis. God is love? Really? Okay, we don't have to look at the sky and the weather. Let's look at the animal kingdom. Let's look at the smallest animals. There is the praying mantis, kind of grasshopper. You know, they have like this. When they're mating, what happens when they're mating? The female in the middle of mating will bite the head of the male and begin to eat the male during the mating process. God is love? Huh? What? Huh? There's a woman, Annie Dillard was an author. She wrote a book called The Pilgrim at Tinker's Creek. And she went to to live next to a river out in the wilderness of Virginia. And she thought, I'll live in nature and I'll become one with nature. I'll learn the ways of nature and I'll understand something about people and you and God, how he loved. So she looked and she saw the mantis and how violent that world, the spider and catching the insects on his web. She noticed one kind of insect. I can't remember the name of it. What happens is the insect bites like a frog. And when he bites it, there's a venom that goes into the frog. And the frog's brain and organs just begin to melt. And she could see in the eyes of the frog, the life is just literally coming out of the frog. And she just thought, how could this nature be a place of love? There's so much violence and death. And it's just bloody. So, you look at nature, God is love? Really? Really. Okay, not nature. Let's look at history. Look at history of mankind. God is love because we see how man overcomes and, it's, you know, we've evolved and we can make these beautiful cities and the advancement of technology. It's on my phone. It's everywhere. It's love. Really? Come on now. The history of man is full of blood, violence, war. Has it stopped? Have lives been better? Yes, lives have improved from technology. But have wars ceased? You just look at your own family. Is it perfect? Has the fighting stopped? God is love from history? Come on now, let's be honest. So how do we know that God is love? How does the love of God make sense? If you look at the nature and you look at history, it doesn't make sense. There's only one place where it will make sense. and it's the Bible. The Bible teaches us that God is love. Now, that's the one place where it will make sense. But what does the Bible say? Does the Bible say, look at the story of nature, look at the story of history? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible teaches that God is love by the story of God's people. What am I talking about? Once more, go to verse 43. You look at verse 43. It says, the wise should ponder these things. Do you see that? These things. What are these things? These things are Psalm 105, Psalm 106. All right? 105, 106, 107. You don't have to read now, but I'm giving you a tool to help you understand the flow. In Psalm 105, God said to a man named Abraham, I'm going to show you my love. I'm going to make a love covenant with you. And my covenant with you is a covenant of love for you. And then it shows the story of Abraham becoming his family, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons, finally a man named Joseph, and then Egypt, and then a man named Moses who rescued Abraham's sons and his family out of Egypt, and then God's love continuing to grow and nurture this nation, Abraham's children, the children of Israel, and God's love brings them through the desert and into a promised land called Canaan. And then while they're in the promised land of Canaan, even though the Israelite people fail God, reject God, are not worshiping God, God still loves them. How does he love them? He sends them away. He sends them to a place called Babylon. And there they are oppressed, they are jailed, they are abused, they are enslaved, they are made to wander. And then, while they're there, they cry out to God. I want you, if you have your Bibles, go back to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Go to Psalm 106 and go all the way to the end of Psalm 106 and verse 44. Yet he took note of the people of Israel, God's people. He took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant, and out of his great love, he relented. He caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. Now look at verse 47. This is key, verse 47. Save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. That's verse 47. The end of Psalm 106 is saying, God, save us when we're out in this terrible place. And so now, go to chapter 107, we just read, give thanks for the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east, west, north, and south. Do you see that? The love of God is not expressed in nature, in the history of man. It's in the story of the people of God. And if you will open your eyes and your heart to understand that story, you will understand the love of God better. Listen to me. We all want God to love. We all want to understand the love of God, because we know the more we understand the love of God, the more our life will improve. The more our life will change. The more our hearts will be changed. We know that. We know we want transformation, and we know that the more I know the love of God, the more I can understand it. But now, the problem is, our understanding of the love of God is something that the world thinks. We think, like the world, God's love is one or the other. On the one hand, we think the love of God is, well, if God is love, he accepts everyone. He will not punish anyone. No one goes to hell, but there must be a heaven because God is love. So God can't make anybody suffer. God's not the cause of pain or sickness because God is love. That's one way you can look. On the other hand, you can look at God, well, if God is holy and righteous and just, how can he forgive anybody? He gives everybody what they deserve. And if I'm honest with God, I don't deserve heaven. I've looked in my heart. I see the evil. I understand who I am, and I don't deserve forgiveness of God. How can I know God is love? So we have this picture of God and this picture of God, and they can't be put together. Not outside of the Bible. But inside of the Bible, they go together. They go together. Well, I won't give it away yet. You know where I'm going, but I can't give it away too soon. Let's go to the text, okay? Let's go back. First kind of story. The first kind of story is the lost wanderer. Verse 4, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They're hungry and thirsty. Their lives ebbed away. Is this your story? I want to ask you. Are you a wanderer? Some of you, when you come to Mitaki for the first time, like the three ladies here, did you get lost? I did. I went to Peace Park one day. I said, I need a church that speaks English. They had one chirashi, one flyer. This was before the internet exploded and we had, you know, the homepage. And it was Mitaki's flyer. There's a little map, simple map, that tells you nothing. All it shows you is Mitaki Eki, right? And that's it. And then from there, some kind of road. They're all straight lines. There is no straight line to this church. So I go up. I'm looking. It's 1:15. I'm climbing, looking around. Houses, apartment. It's 1:30. Okay, I'm a little bit late. All right, still nothing. I'm over there. 1:45, nothing. I come around this way, 1:50, nothing. I look, oh, it's a cross. How do I get to that cross? You know, between me and the cross is houses, and I try to, all right, 2:15, I'm here, I found it. Thank you, Lord. You helped me find my way, all right? Now, that's the easy, stupid Chris version of the story, but if you look here, you know, my life was not ending by finding the church, okay? But God is here. He's showing us there are so many people in the spiritual sense, not literally, spiritually. There's people. I looked up recently how many foreigners are in Hiroshima. There's 40,000. 40,000 in 2010. So maybe there's more now. 40,000 foreigners. They're in a foreign land and they're in this city. You look around here, maybe there's 40. Not 40. So not even 1%. But I know in my heart, there's some foreigners here in this city who are lost. And they are looking for a voice. They are searching for a way. They've left their country. They think they've left home. They found a new me. It's a new land. And what they do is they find out they don't know who they are. They don't know where they're from. And they don't know where they're going. But God says, that's what I'm here for. I'm here for this. I'm here to help you find your way. In fact, I'm here to be your way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And for those who are fortunate enough, they can cry out to God, God, I need a place to call home. I need a family. I need people who will come alongside of me to pray for me, to help me, and for me to come alongside with. And it's not just Mitaki, but it's God's people, his churches, pockets all around the city. Is that your story? Let's look at the second group. The second group, it gets even darker. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness. Prisoners suffering in iron chains. They rebelled against God's commands. So he subjected them to bitter labor, and they stumbled. There was no one to help. No one. There's another group in this church who were so alone that it was dark. Now, it gets worse than the darkness, because it says there was no one to help. Can you imagine that? In fact, I know some of you can imagine that because you've lived that. You were alone. You were in a kind of prison emotionally, psychologically. There's no voice. It's the worst because, okay, sometimes when you're in chains and you're bound by some kind of addiction or some kind of problem, you can't get out. That's one, you know, you can go to somebody for help, but when you can't call somebody and no one will listen to you, maybe all your friends are somewhere else and they've given up on you and you're alone, that's the worst. That's a prison. That's torment. And he says, that's where a lot of us were. That's some of our story. And he's saying, what did he do? He cried out to God. Now here's what God did. Hallelujah. Verse 14. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. It says it three times. Verse 16. He breaks down gates of bronze, cuts through bars of iron. My friend, I don't know who you are, maybe where you're coming from, but listen, if you are trapped, if you are bound by some kind of chain or you are held by a prison bar, there is no bar that God cannot break through. There is no chain that God cannot break. Jesus is the chain breaker. He is the bar breaker. Now, I'm going to go deeper into this at the end. But we need to understand when there is a time when we're in utter darkness and we're in torment because of chains, there's one person that we can go to. And what you have to do is this. You have to do what this person did. You don't just weep. You don't just cry. That's important. You do that. You don't just sit in silence and in sorrow. Here's what you have to do. You have to put a voice to your need. You have to make that voice a cry. And it says there, they cried out to God. My friend, have you cried out to God? I know maybe you've been weeping and you've been crying inside. But have you put a voice? And I'm not talking about telling somebody or calling somebody. I'm talking, have you cried out to God? I know maybe the walls of your apartment, they're thin, and you're worried about disturbing people. I know, because I lived in those apartments. In fact, I live in a house with thin walls. But there was a point, I will not even lie, there was a point I got so sick and tired, I cried out. It was 12, 1 o'clock at night, and I said, that's it. I don't care. And I cried out to God. I didn't care about my neighbors. Have you ever been at that point? If not, well, Lord bless you. But keep on living, because someday we all come to a point where we have to cry out. Put a voice to your needs. Let's go to the third story. All right. Some became fools through the rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. So here's the problem. This is a people who ruined their life, okay? Because of their own iniquities, they became fools. Maybe through, just they opened their mouth, or they were addicted to something, they were immature, or they made a mistake. One mistake, and it all went away. And they could be a PhD, they could be educated, they could have everything that they wanted, but they made one mistake. They didn't see it coming, they didn't take advice, they you know, something, and they ruined their life. That's this group. And it got so bad, they got so sick, they drew near the gates of death. They loathed all food, verse 18. They lost their appetite. And it could be an actual sickness. You know when you're sick, you can't even eat, right? That's near death. Why? Because you can't take nourishment, and your body gets even weaker, it becomes worse. So they cried out to God, verse 20. I love verse 20. Verse 20, he sent out his word and healed them. Hallelujah. You can circle word. That's a word. That word is so important. If you do your own little Bible search on your app, you just type in word. What you'll find is you'll see two verses that I want you to remember. The word of God. The word of God. It's back in Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, the word of God made everything. You see, the word of God is not like our word. Our word is just a way of communication. All right? But God's word is not just communication, it's creation. God's word is so powerful, it makes things exist. It doesn't just make things exist. You know what it does? It fixes things. The word of God is so powerful, it says here that it healed their sickness. The word of God. What is this word? Is it some kind of force? Is it some kind of magical power? Hallelujah. No, it is not. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Yes? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word was the light of life, Jesus Christ. God sent forth His Word, and He healed. What did Christ do when He was here on earth? He was a healer. He took what was broken and He fixed it. Where is the love of God? God made the world. He made nature. He made history. He made it good. He made it good. This is a good place. But it's not just that He made it. We broke it. God made it good. We broke it by our sin and our disobedience. So there's creation. There's the fall of creation, but that story is not the end. The story continues, and it's called redemption. Creation, fall, redemption. God made it, we broke it. Third part, God breaks in to fix it. How does He break in to fix it? By His word. Amen? Right? Listen, I told you, this is my story, this is my song. God is the story changer. But we have to understand the story is a story of love, God's love. How is the story of God's love in the Bible? The story is creation, fall, redemption. God breaks in to fix it. If you don't have that frame of creation, fall, and redemption, you can't make sense of the love of God. You can't. It won't make sense. Let me get to the fourth story. Go back to the fourth. Last group. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. These are people who were doing nothing wrong. It could be that they're coming back from Babylon. They could be doing a business. But here's what happens. Verse 25, he spoke, he stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths in their peril. Their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards, and they were at their wits' end. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. I was on Facebook on Thursday. And on Facebook, you know, the videos now, the videos on Facebook, they're just automatic. They just play. You don't press play. They just play on your phone, you know. And there was one, I just was on it, and it was a big ship. And it showed the ship in the storm. It was amazing. The waves would go way up high, okay, and you could see the camera would go up the wave, and then it would go way down. And it's like I was on the boat, and I could see just from way up top, all 100-foot waves, all white. And sometimes the wave would go over the ship, and the picture was lost for, you know, 2 seconds, and then you could see, just more waves, more crazy. And then there's a comment. The comment said, "Not for me," right? Okay? Now, yeah, so that's enough of that. Yeah, not for me. I don't think it's anybody here. Just that. Yeah, anybody, you could be the toughest guy in the world, but you're going up and down like that? Mm-mm, no thank you. So that's them. That's this group. The storm of life spiritually. That's what's happening in my heart, you know? One day, yeah, life is good. The sun is shining. The next day, man, just a storm. I'm so busy. I got this pressure. I got these people who want something. And I thought I was a pretty strong person. I thought I was competent. But then these things come in and it shows me, these are waves too high for me. And so verse 29, he stilled the storm to a whisper and the waves of the sea were hushed. Does anybody know where that is in the Gospels? They were glad when it grew calm and he guided them to their desired haven. God brought them home. God changed their story. All right, now, great stories. What's your story? What group are you in? Are you in the wanderer group? Are you in the prisoner group? Are you in that sick person group, the foolish group? Are you in that storm group? Are you the person who needs a guide to lead you home? Are you the person who needs the bondage breaker to break the chains? Are you the person who needs the healer to heal your sickness? Are you the person who needs the power to calm the storm? Which one are you? Because you can look at this and think, oh man, I need God to save me from this evil world. I need God to come and take me out of this mess that these people put me through. But if you were reading carefully, like with me here, did you catch what happened there with the prisoner group? Did you catch why they're in prison? Did you catch whose prison they were in? Did you catch that? They were in God's prison. Isn't that weird? They were in God's prison. And did you catch the waves, the part where they're going up and down in the waves? Who was the one who made the storm? It was God who blew on the waves and made the storm. What? Wait, God. If you're loving and you're kind, how could you put me in a prison? How could you make my life a storm? I thought you were one or the other. How can, you know, in the summertime, when you go to a movie, they're not deep movies. The summertime movies are like the big action, blockbuster movies. The good guys are the good guys, and the bad guys are the bad guys. It's very clear, right? There's no like, oh, he's bad, but really he's good, and he's good, but maybe he's bad. No, good guy, bad guy, let's eat popcorn. That's the summer movie. And they're not real people. You can tell. It's just a cartoon. They're just one-dimensional. There's good and there's bad. Good has to win. People think God has to be that way. People think God has to be all good, loving, and forgiving, and never putting you through difficulty. Or people think God has to be holy and righteous and just, never forgiving. He's holy. He has to be a cartoon of one or the other. But the good movies are the ones where the characters are complex. And they're both. There's something inside both. When you read the Bible, you are not going to get a cartoon God. You get the real God with real love. A love that says, I love you just the way you are, but I'm not going to let you stay that way. I'll take you just as you are, immature, broken, foolish, inadequate, weak. I'll take you that way, but I'm going to make you holy. And I will make you holy if it means I have to break you some more. I have to shake you some more. You have to go through a tunnel even longer. Because I love you too much to let you stay immature, foolish, unforgiving. Now, how could God do that? How does he allow us to get through a prison and he break his own chains? How is it? If we don't understand how he does that, we'll never be changed. We'll never grow. You see, the psalmist doesn't have something we have. The psalmist looks at the love of God, and go back to verse 43. Go back to verse 43. It says, you ponder these things. What does the word ponder mean? It means to be puzzled. It means to say, what is happening? That's the word, ponder. It means I'm looking at this good thing and this bad thing, and I don't know how they fit together. And the psalmist who wrote this says, I don't know how it works, but I know that's how God is. And it's enough to change me, to make me happier. But we have something the psalmist does not have. We understand that the reason we can find our way home is because God allowed his son to lose his way. We found a home because Jesus said, the birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of God has no place to rest his head. We find a home because Jesus was made homeless for us. Our chains could be broken. We could be set free because Jesus allowed himself to be bound for us, to have a crown of thorns pounded into his head so that we could finally have the chains broken from our wrists. We find healing because it is by his wounds we are healed. We can find the calmness of the storms of our life. The storms of our life can be stilled. Why? Because of the great Jonah, who is Jesus, was swallowed up by the wrath of God. And he took all of the justice of God so that we could have the love of God. And in the story of creation, fall, and redemption, there's the marriage, the perfect coming together of the love and righteousness of God. They kiss each other, as one psalm says. How do we let our lives be changed? How do I let our story be transformed? It is through the cross of Jesus Christ that allows all of this to come together into one magnificent story. So, there it is. That's the invitation. If you don't have that, how do you get it? How do you receive it? It's very simple. Very simple. The same way they all received. The four people, what did they do? They cried out. You see, you don't need anything. All you need to receive God's love is absolutely nothing. All you need is nothing. You just need to need. Amen. You don't come with anything. There's nothing you bring. And God says, oh, look, wow, I really needed that. I'm glad you don't deserve anything. There's nothing you can do to make God say, okay, I'll do it just for you. No. God says, just cry out to me. Just look to me. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to break in to fix what's broken. So we come to the cross. We say, Jesus, I'm in a storm. Jesus, I'm sick. Jesus, I'm in darkness. Jesus, I'm lost. And let him find you home. Let him heal you. Let him forgive. Let him calm the storm. So let's go to him now, shall we? Let's pray. I want you to think of your story. I want you to think of how God stands ready to interrupt your story. Think of how he stands waiting to guide you home. Think of how he stands ready to break the chains. Think of how he stands ready to calm the storm and how he stands ready to heal. Are you alone? There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Have you lost your way? Jesus says he is the way. So, Lord Jesus, we come to you. We bow before you. Some of us, we weep before you. Some of us, in our heart of hearts, we are crying out to you, Lord Jesus. Some of us, Lord God, we have been saved. We have been delivered. We have been purchased. And we thank you, oh God, from the bottom of our hearts and with all of our being, we say, thank you, Jesus. You lifted me up from the muck and the mire. You set my feet on a rock. You put a song in my heart, a song of praise. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Lord, open our eyes to this ever-enduring love. Help us to see all the more so that really our lives can be changed and our hearts really transformed. So we come to you now, Lord Jesus, and we thank you in advance for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.